We gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Lord's Day to prepare our hearts and minds to worship the one who has called us here. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. Thank you for those that are joining us for the very first time. If you are a guest with us this morning, welcome to First Baptist Church of Elon. Take a minute, fill out one of the visitor's card in your pew as you leave worship later on today. Drop it off in our offering plate, and we'll follow up with you a little bit later this week. For those that are watching us online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this morning. Also, a reminder that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin there. Use that as a resource for our worship service today, but also use it as a resource for our ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are watching us online for the very first time, send us an email as well, and I'll follow up with you later on in the week this week and just to kind of check in with you. But again, thank you for joining us for worship this day. It is an exciting day to gather in the Lord's house. Every day we have the opportunity to gather in His presence is a day that is a privilege. And that is why we gather to worship this day. This afternoon, I want to remind our church family we have some activities going on. A reminder to our ministry teams, our ministry team leaders, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, church council will meet upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. That's at 4 p.m. So ministry team leaders, please be present for that meeting. If you cannot be there, make sure you have a team representative there present for that meeting as we discuss upcoming plans for our church calendar. That's at 4 o'clock. Then a reminder to our adults, our adult Bible study, the Book of Mark, will continue at 5 o'clock this evening in the Fellowship Hall. We'll be looking at Session 2 this afternoon. I think the session this afternoon is Mark chapters 5 through 7. So all you need to bring is your Bible for that time of Bible study. You can also watch that study on Facebook Live as well if you can't join us in person. Youth will kick off their study tonight at 5:30 p.m. for Youth Intensity. Reminder to our senior adults, I know y'all are excited about our luncheon coming up this Tuesday. Many of you have signed up and we're excited about you coming. That luncheon is at 11:30 on Tuesday. I know many of you have hands that are in preparation and planning for that, helping that come about. We'll be having from Baptist Aging Ministry, Austin Decker will be coming to speak and share about his ministry and some of the expertise that he has. I encourage you to come. If you have not signed up, it's probably still not a little too late. You can still come out. Just let me know this morning. I will put that list together. But again, that's at 11:30 on Tuesday. We also are having our group that goes to the Golden Year Senior Center on Tuesday afternoon at 1:30 to lead bingo and also to celebrate birthdays there at the Senior Center. If you want to go on that with that group, please see Sandy French this morning and let her know that you would like to go with them. Choir rehearsal will be Wednesday night at 6:30, so choir, don't forget about that. I think Rob Johnson's leading the group this week. Is that right, Rob? That's correct. All right, so 6:30. If you're not sitting up here and you would like to sit up here on a Sunday basis, come out to choir practice on 6:30 on Wednesday night for our choir practice. And then Thursday we have our book chat that meets at Barnes & Noble. That'll be at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Thank you for those who have brought items for our September missions collection for the Alamance Regional Cancer Center Food Pantry. Many items have already been brought. Thank you for that. We'll keep collecting items through the month of September. So if you haven't picked up any items yet, or you want to pick up additional items, please pick those up. You can drop those off in the Communication Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall over the next couple weeks. Last but not least, you notice as you walked into the church foyer this morning, we have a table set up and it has two things at that table. The first thing is a roster. It is our official church roster. Our secretary Janice keeps that on her computer. And this is the official roster that will go into our new pictorial directory that will hopefully be finished before the end of this year. But this roster is what will be printed in the back of that pictorial directory. We need you to go and check that information in that roster, okay? So everything that is printed there is going to be what's printed in the back of the directory. We want to make sure it's correct. So please take a moment as you leave worship today or definitely by next Sunday to go by and check that information to, one, make sure it's correct. Two, if there's some information there that maybe you don't want included in the directory, mark that information out. Maybe you don't want your phone number in there. Mark that out. Maybe you don't want your birthday in there. Mark that out. Whatever you don't want in the directory, mark it out, because if it's not marked out, it's going to get printed. And last but not least, after you have checked it, we want a great big check mark beside your name. Three things. Correct information, mark out anything you don't want included, and then a check mark saying, I've checked my information out. We want to make sure we have this correct by next Sunday. So I know many of you have already stopped by. Thank you for that. Stop by as you leave worship today or by next Sunday, because we have to have this finalized by next Sunday to turn into the pictorial directory individuals that are putting our pictorial directory together. The other thing at that table this morning, Liz Hill had a group of t-shirts. We are putting together a 75th anniversary t-shirt. It's actually just a new t-shirt for our church. We haven't put one together in, I think it's been 8, 9, 10 years by now. But we're putting a new t-shirt together. We have the design for it. We have short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts together, and we're taking orders for it. And Liz is going to be out at the table following worship for a few minutes. If you want to stop by and look at what the short sleeve, you got the short sleeve t-shirts, right? What the short sleeve t-shirts look like, you can. It's the long sleeve t-shirts, it's the exact same design, but two different colors. Talk to Liz. It's a great deal. We'll have the table up for the next couple weeks. You don't have to do it today, but if you want to, stop by and look at what the new t-shirt will look like. But I hope many of you will order them. It's a new way to just promote who we are and how we're making a difference in our community. That's what we've got going on right now in our ministries. Now it's time to worship. Amen. Let's stand and sing a praise to our Lord this morning. Sing to the Almighty. That's why we've gathered here this day.
Stand and sing. Your words will be on the screen, but if you want to look in a hymn book, because you're old-fashioned like me, it's number 14. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 103, reading verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses. his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins desire, deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's what we're called to do every single day, to praise the Lord with all that we are. That's why we're here this morning. Let us pray today. We give you thanks, O Lord. We call on your name. We will make known your deeds among all the people. We'll sing to you. We'll sing praises to you, not just this day, but every day. We'll tell of all your wonderful works. We'll glory in your holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek you rejoice. We seek you, Lord, and your strength, and your presence continually. We remember the wonderful works you have done among us and among your people, your miracles and the judgments that you've uttered. You are the Lord, our God. Your judgments are in all the earth. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
How many of you were here last week when Mark Mofield spoke? How many of you paid attention when he said, hey, consider sitting someplace else? As near as I can tell, I'm the only one that got a new seat this week. But I am grateful that we are creatures of habit, and that one of the habits we have is praising God collectively, and that we have a habit of going out and loving our community. So let's stand together and sing It Is Well With My Soul.
Those saints of Jehovah.
Before I get to my ministry highlight today, someone asked me a couple weeks ago, after I come up to the pulpit area, you'll notice I pull my cell phone out of my pocket. And I really do that for two reasons. I pull out my cell phone out of my pocket to first off make sure I turn the ringer off, because sometimes I forget. And that'll be the last and the worst thing I do, because I know I'm going to sit over there one day and I'm going to forget to turn the ringer off, and right in the middle of my sermon, it's going to go off and everybody's going to look around and say, who forgot to turn their cell phone off? And it's going to be the pastor. I know what's going to happen. So that's the first thing I do, is I turn to check my ringer off. And the second thing is I turn our Facebook live feed on. So while John's running it back in the back over here, I'm watching it to see everything's going on. And sometimes things may not be going well, and we're shooting glances at each other, little signals going on. But also, we got a good-looking group of people. So I like to see the congregation from this perspective of what they're seeing on Facebook Live. So that's why I put my phone up here every Sunday morning. It's not because I'm watching the scores on a sports thing. It's not. I mean, I promise you I'm not. I mean, my watch may go off and it may send me a score, but I promise I'm not doing that. I'm watching the Facebook Live feed. So if you don't believe me, before the service is over, come and peek. It's the worship service going on. Anyway, you can see it. The choir can see it. They know what I'm doing. But anyway, just that's the two reasons I have my cell phone up here on the pulpit area. But anyway, our ministry highlight today. This morning I wanted to highlight just a couple ways that we're trying to get ready for our homecoming celebration that's coming out. We're coming to celebrate on Sunday, October 8th. It's going to be a big Sunday, a wonderful worship service that starts at 10:30. Be an hour and a half long worship, lots of music. Travis Russell will be back with us preaching that Sunday morning. Lots of things are going to be a part of that Sunday. Ivy Arch will be back singing with us. It'll be a great celebration, so I hope you're planning to be here that Sunday morning. But in preparation for that day, we're going to do a little bit of work here around the church to make sure the church building is looking great for that Sunday. So two Saturdays in advance of that Sunday. First Saturday Saturday, September 30th, and then on Saturday, October 7th. I know it says October 8th in your bulletin. That's not right. It's October 7th. We're going to do some morning work outside basically to beautify our grounds in preparation for homecoming Sunday. That first Saturday on September 30th, we're going to have some, I think, some pine needles. Jerry's going to have some pine needles delivered, and we're going to be putting some pine needles around our bushes and all the stuff and our plants here at First Baptist Elon. And then on that second Saturday, we may be doing a little bit more inside work and then catching up on some of that outside stuff that still needs to be done. But I hope you'll schedule to plan out to come and help. Everybody can come out and help. It's not going to be hard manual labor. Some of that may be, but we'll also have lots of things that anybody can do. So I hope you'll come out and help us on those dates. We'll communicate those times to you in the next week or two of what time we're going to arrive for those work dates. We're also going to be helping out on Thursday night, October 5th. That's the Thursday before homecoming on the 8th. That Thursday night, October 5th at 6:30 p.m. is when we're going to set up all the tables upstairs for our fellowship meal that'll take place after worship service that day. We're going to put a lot of tables up. We're expecting a lot of people. It is our 75th anniversary. We're expecting a large crowd, and we're going to set up lots of tables for that meal. So if you can come, help set up tables, help set up chairs. They'll also maybe starting some decorating of those tables that night. Kathy Hines is kind of in charge of that, so she has a plan for that evening. But if you can come that night on that Thursday at 6:30 to help set up some tables and chairs, your help would be much appreciated. We'll be communicating more about those work days in the next week or two, but mark your date on those calendars, those dates on your calendar for a little bit of help, and come out and help get everything ready. Now I'll call on Deacon Phil Thompson to come for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gathering today, Lord, and the day that we worship you, that you alone are worthy of our worship, worthy of our praise. And Lord, we thank you continually for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, a debt that could be paid only by you. As we give back a portion of what you've entrusted us, Lord, help it to be multiplied, to spread the gospel, not only to our community, but to the world. Help us also to be mindful that we have more than financial resources to give. Help us to give of ourselves continually to others and to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. Before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, thank you again to Brian Carroll, who has stepped in to lead us in lead our music today. As many of you know, Gay's under the weather again today. We pray for her quick recovery. But Brian, thank you for stepping in, and also thank you to Janie Brown, who is stepping in on the piano today. Many of you may not even realize that Bert's on vacation this Sunday, and Janie very willingly stepped in to play the piano for us today. So thank y'all for your leadership in music this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day as we prepare to encounter Him in His Word this morning. Here we are again, God, with all that makes us who we are, all that fills our lives, carrying into this place of joy and freedom the burdens that we just can't seem to lay down, the weight of all the scores we long to have settled, the justice we want to demand for the wrongs that we have suffered. Yet, we also know what would happen if you were to deal with us justly, with our greeds and our violences, our betrayals and our lusts. If justice was served in our lives, we could not stand in this place. So, Father, today forgive us of our wrongs. Forgive us as we do not deserve. Forgive us against the demands of justice. And forgive our obsession that justice be done to those who have wronged us this day. May our worship lead us to the place where our hunger for grace and mercy may be filled, not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday as well, and where we may be freed from that tyranny of vengeance. May we hear your word this morning. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us for worship on this third Sunday in the month of September. We're just 3 weeks away from Homecoming Sunday, October 8th. Again, I hope you're planning to join us for that day of celebration. We are looking forward to that exciting day of celebrating 75 years of ministry here at FBC Elon. Lots have gone into preparation for that special day, and you will not want to miss it. However, on this morning, we're going to talk about one of those bedrock principles of Christian faith and our Christian walk. And I fully believe that most of us today in this place, at one time or another, have had someone in our lives that we've fallen out of favor with. There have been times where we've been so filled with frustration and anger that we have felt that we may never be able to forgive and forget something that has been done toward us by someone or something. Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe it was our brother and our sister when we were children. Maybe it was our brother and sister just last week. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was someone at school. Maybe it was a coworker, a neighbor, or simply a friend or an acquaintance. But I think we've all been in that situation where someone's done something to us and we just can't let it go. Author Robert Louis Stevenson, in one of his books, Edinburgh Legends, tells of two sisters who never got married and they decided to live together in the same house, but who came to having a falling out and decided never to speak to each other again. So with a piece of chalk, they divided up every area of their house. With a piece of chalk, they drew a line straight across the sofa. One side for one sister, the other side for the other sister. With a piece of chalk, they drew a chalk line through the middle of the kitchen. This side of the kitchen was hers. The other side of the kitchen was the other's. Even the doorways were divided. How they figured that out, I don't know, but they did. They refused to even acknowledge one another in a given day, morning, noon, and night. The two women lived the rest of their lives imprisoned in bitterness by chalk lines. They refused even to acknowledge each other's presence every single day. With a piece of chalk, they marked each other completely out of each other's lives. What a way to live a life. What a way to live a life. People are still drawing chalk lines today. Perhaps we do not see them, but they are there. Words are carelessly spoken, deeds offend, something real or imagined happens, and the result is, I don't want anything more to do with you, you are not my friend, I'm drawing the line, this is my side, that is your side. This happens in every area of life, relationships, marriages, family, jobs, associations, something happens and the chalk lines are drawn. This morning, we're going to talk about how we as Christians are called to erase those chalk lines. In our focus passage this morning, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35, Jesus gives his followers a model of how we are called to do this. He begins by saying, if your brother trespasses against you. Before we even start reading the passage, we need to understand and define that word trespass. Trespass means to come across. It means, in other words, you are on my side of the chalk line. It means you violated my side. You have infringed upon my rights. This is my private territory. You have come too far. Get off my side. So Jesus is saying, if your brother trespasses against you, what do we do? What do we do? Jesus says his followers are supposed to act differently than what the world says we're called to do. We're supposed to try to get rid of the barriers in life. We're called to get rid of the chalk lines. And if we do not handle bitterness and hostility differently than the way the world handles them, then we have not learned what it means to be a Christian, and we are going to be covered by chalk dust. Charles Swindoll wrote, as a Christian, I give up my privilege of hurting you because you hurt me. I give up my privilege of retaliating, of seeking revenge. I give up my privilege of nursing a grudge. Is it true? Do we do that? You really did hurt me. Yes, we are hurt. I'm not imagining it. I'm not making up these feelings. But because I am a Christian, I give up my privilege of hurting you in return. With this in mind, let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35. The words will be on the screen behind me as well. Let's look at this probably pretty familiar passage. If your brother sins against you or trespasses against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Those are the opening words, but now we're about to encounter a story that's quite troubling. One that we've probably grappled with, but it kind of stings. Then Peter came to Jesus, and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master, he ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. It's that last statement. We're like, oh yeah, we're okay with this. This story works. This story speaks to us. I can go along with this story. He got what he deserved. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's some powerful words. So how do we forgive? I think there are three lessons that Jesus wants us to learn about forgiveness in this story. The first lesson is one that is probably the most easy and straightforward. God expects us to forgive others even as he forgives us. The most straightforward statement, the most straightforward lesson, but still maybe the hardest lesson to learn about forgiveness. I remember growing up, you know, there was a business, local business, and for the life of me, I was trying to remember back in my mind which one it was. But I remember very, very candidly that there was a sign inside the business, and it said this: "To err is human, but to forgive is not our policy." It's funny, right? To err is human, but to forgive is not our policy. It's funny, but how much of the world does it speak about? Yeah, we all make mistakes. But how quick we're not to forgive. God does forgive, though. God challenges us to forgive. And he expects us to learn to forgive even as we have been forgiven by him. He never withholds forgiveness from us. Never. He has never withheld forgiveness from anyone that comes in his presence and asks for it. I do not know how many times I have had to ask for forgiveness from God, and every single time he grants it. And the same is true for you. He opens his arms to us no matter what we have done. There is no sin that is too great that will prevent him from forgiving us. There is nothing that will help more than having the burden of bitterness being lifted off of us from the forgiveness that our Father gives to us. And the same is true when we forgive someone else. As someone once said, to forgive is to live. The second lesson that Jesus tries to teach about forgiveness is that failing to forgive blocks the flow of God's blessing to us. As Jesus said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." When we have an attitude of bitterness and a spirit of retaliation, which is what the world pushes toward us, this attitude becomes an obstacle to the grace of God so that it just cannot flow through our hearts anymore. God wants to work through you and through me. He wants to work through us daily. But this bitterness blocks His ability to work through us. At times we have to say, I just felt led to do this because God was leading me to do this. But if we fail to forgive, all of a sudden we put something in His way. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. And He does seek to work through us. But the body of Christ doesn't always work to serve Him. Sometimes it fails. There's an old story about a woman who was bitten by a dog. And she did not realize it at first that the dog had rabies. When she finally did go to the doctor, the doctor told her that it was too late. And he advised her to basically put her final affairs in order. So the woman immediately took out a pen and paper and she began writing. And she wrote and she wrote and she wrote. She was scribbling things down left and right, left and right, left and right. Finally, the doctor stopped her and said, "That surely is a very long will that you are writing down right here." She snorted and said, "Will? Nothing. I'm not writing a will down. I'm making a list of all the people I'm going to go bite." We laugh. But that's how the world works. That's what the world wants us to do. When we are unforgiving and bitter, there are three obvious results that come. The first result is often hatred. You may start out disliking a person, but then it just grows. Have you ever exchanged harsh or bitter words with someone? Or ever had someone deliberately lie about you or to you? Or gone through maybe a bitter divorce? Let me ask you this. Have you ever known someone who was, let's say it, you ever known someone who's a happy hater? Someone who's happy when they hate somebody? Never. Anybody who hates is never happy. They're usually sad and angry and depressed. And if you're like me, I want to be happy. So why do we carry that bitterness around? Have you ever known anyone who says, "I hate and I'm happy about it"? No. Edwin Markham was one of the finest poets who ever lived. But he had a terrible experience in his career. He had saved all his money, invested it wisely, and when it came time to retire, later on in his life, he found out that someone had embezzled it all. It all went away. He became very, very bitter about it. Markham said that he struggled with hatred and resentment. It was actually an old friend who had betrayed him and taken all his money. Bitterness kidnapped his thoughts. He consumed his very being, and it basically took over his life. He kept thinking to himself, "I'm in my 60s and I am broke, and it is not my fault, it is his fault." One day, Markham tried to sit down to write poetry again, try to make a living, try to survive, to put food on his table. But he could not seem to get the words to flow, so he just began doodling. He began to draw circle after circle after circle on a piece of paper. And as he did, he just kept repeating to himself, "I must forgive. I can't even write. I hate this man so much that it is literally destroying my life. I must forgive him." Finally, he poured out all his resentment to God, and he asked God to cleanse his heart and give him the capacity to forgive this man. God did, and Markham said that it felt as if the heavens opened up and he was flooded with his soul being cleansed, and all of his hatred had just been washed away in an instant. He immediately tried writing poetry again, and what he did, it just flowed. He saw the circles on the page, and he wrote what became one of his most famous poems, one of the most famous lines he ever wrote. "He drew a circle to shut me out, rebel, heretic, and thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." From that time on, Edwin Markham began to write his greatest poetry that anyone had ever read. recognition and wealth came again in the evening years of his life. And why? Because the obstacle of hatred was removed from his life. The barrier was gone. The hatred was no more. The second result of an unforgiving attitude is worry. When we are unforgiving and God is not leading and pouring into us, we face the future with fear instead of faith, because things just aren't right in our lives. In a book by Barry Woods, he tells about spending 2 weeks in the Socialist Republic of Romania back when the communists were in power. He was traveling with a Romanian Christian preacher, and everywhere they went, the secret police were basically right on their coattails, trailing them everywhere he went. Finally, he turned and asked the pastor, he said, "How do you sleep at night? How do you get any work done? Aren't you always anxious that they're going to catch up with you? Aren't you afraid about what you're doing with your ministry?" And with a smile, the preacher responded, "I'm untouchable. They can't touch me. As long as God has work for me to do, the police cannot harm me." Barry Woods wrote, "Tears filled my eyes. I was so proud of him, but also ashamed of myself at the same time. I thought of David's words in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When we put our trust in God, the obstacle of worry is removed. The third result of an unforgiving attitude is guilt. Deep down, you feel guilty, and you cannot forgive yourself. Guilt destroys, but God can use even a tarnished vessel when it is clean. All that we have done before does not matter anymore. Do you believe that? You have to believe that. Because if you don't believe that, you're just living in the guilt of sin and you're not turning it over to Him. We don't have to be afraid of that sin we've done in the past, the actions that we have done before, because God is taking it away, and we don't have to be ashamed of it anymore. I doubt any of us would be ready to say that if we were living and reveling in that sin. Now, we as humans consider some sins more serious than others, but I'm not convinced that that is right. Scripture doesn't say that. The consequences may be bigger, but in the eyes of God, I do not believe that that is true. Sin is sin. Sin is a fracturing of our relationship with God. It is a transgression against God. That is why God speaks so strongly about this unforgiving attitude. It produces fruits of hatred, of worry, and of guilt. And at the end result is eternal separation from God. But when we turn to Him and we forgive others, the marvelous thing about forgiveness is that all we have done before does not matter anymore before God. The third and final lesson that we can learn about forgiveness is how we can go about forgiving others. So how do we forgive? How can we set things right? How can we give up on the privilege of hurting others because they hurt us? It's hard to do. It isn't easy. We all have our ego. We all have our pride. So how can we bring ourselves to do it? The very first thing is that we have to remember. Remember what God has done for you. Remember how many times you were blessed. Remember Romans 2:4. God's kindness leads you towards repentance. You will never repent until you look at yourself and say, "God has been so merciful and good to me." And if we remember that, we can forgive anybody for anything. Then, secondly, we pray. The great problem of the modern church is not unanswered prayers. And that's what a lot of people think. It's because God's not listening to me. He's not answering my prayers. That is not the problem with the church. The problem with the church is the unoffered prayers. We often think we dwell in what's going on in our lives, and we forget to say, "Hey, God, I've got a problem." It's unoffered prayers, not unanswered prayers. When we lift prayers to God, He hears them. James 4:2 says this, "You do not have because you do not ask God." So pray by name. Pray specifically. Pray for that person who has despitefully used you. Pray for your enemies. Start the flow of prayer, and you'll be amazed at how forgiveness works. And then third, a piece of that forgiveness is you seek reconciliation. You don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. You might think, well, I'm staying on my side of the chalk line. They're going to have to step over to my side. Well, guess what? You're going to live a lonely life if that's how you live your life. You've got to step across that line. And the best way to do it is get an eraser and start erasing that line and step right through. Because guess what? God didn't draw that chalk line. God didn't draw that line. God doesn't draw lines. Because the cross behind me wiped away any lines that we could possibly put up. We have to take that step. Pray about it. Do more about it. Take the first step. Go the first mile. Jesus said, go to your brother. Make that phone call. Send a letter. Do something to erase that chalk line. As he hung upon the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for what they do, not know what they're, because they don't know what they're doing. And because of Jesus, we dare to pray the exact same way and to the exact same thing that he did. He came to wipe away all the lines. As we close this morning, let me share one last story. A man who won his battle over bitterness. During World War II, a couple put their only son on a train for service. He was heading to the South Pacific. As they turned to walk away from bidding their son goodbye, the dad said to himself and to his wife, "If that boy, our only son, dies, I hope every Japanese person in this world is killed." His son was killed just a few months later in the war. No one will ever know the heartache and struggle that those parents felt and that father was going through. As a Christian, he went through in losing his only son. He went to the woods every single day, in and out, with that regret and with that struggle. He wept and he prayed to God. He kept telling himself and telling God, "I refuse to be destroyed by this bitterness that I'm harboring in my heart." A few months later, they received the government insurance for their son's death. Not knowing what to do initially with that money, the father continued to pray. He continued to pray, continued to go out to the woods. And one day, as he came back to the house, he told his wife, "I know what we need to do." So he took the money and he sent it off for missions. Gave it to his local church, and he says, "I want you to send it to missions and the missionaries." And he said this, he said, "But not just any missions, not just any missionaries. I want you to specifically send it to missionaries that are working in Japan. Because this is the way that God has taught me to get over my bitterness, is to reach out to those that I once called my enemies, because I know they're my brothers." Only God can bring about that kind of change in our lives. We may try. We may try on our own, but we cannot do it by our own power. God can. Have you committed your life to the one who can do that? Have your sins been forgiven? Have they been wiped away? Do you know God's forgiveness so you too can forgive others? We live in a world of hurt that needs Christians who are making change in the world. So my final question to you this morning is this: are you ready to erase some of those chalk lines that we've been drawing? Let's pray. Father, what a powerful story about forgiveness. And Father, I know as We've been talking about this morning. I'm sure that there's individuals in our lives that have been running through our minds. Father, may we not just keep them in our minds and leave them there, but as we walk out these doors, may that be the first step of erasing those lines that we've been drawn or that have been drawn between us. You've called us to make that first step, and may we do that. And that first step begins with you, seeking forgiveness from you so we can understand what true forgiveness can mean in this world. Father, as we come to our time of closing this day, as we sing our closing hymn in just a moment, if we're not right with you, may we be made right in you. If we're not right with others, may we this be the beginning point of being made right with others. You made the call. May we answer. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, I'll be down front. Whatever commitment you need to make today, make it today. Turning your life over to Him, having that forgiveness that only He can bring, finding a church family that seeks to wipe away those chalk lines that the world is drawing. Whatever it is, make it today. Let's stand and sing. Today, go out and erase some chalk lines. There's way too many lines out there. Do your part, what we're called to do. Go in peace.